painting to photography, from beadwork to woodworking, KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University presents Artbeat. Artbeat highlights the work and accomplishments of local artists from in and around Winona. Support for Artbeat is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with today's Artbeat.
Welcome to Artbeat and our coverage of Something Tribal This Way Comes from St. Paul, Minnesota. This past weekend, the festival offered workshops in American Tribal Belly Dance, also known as ATS, as well as other forms such as fusion, old school Egyptian, and American Cabaret. Today we visit with the founder of the festival, who is also the owner and operator of the Kamala Chand Dance Company, which is the Twin Cities' only American Tribal style performance troupe and Minnesota ATS leader as the state's premier Fat Chance Belly Dance sister studio. Today we'll learn how this talented performance artist became involved with dance and how she turned it into her life's passion. We'll also learn a little bit about what ATS style dance is, how it started, and more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you're listening to part one of our coverage of Something Tribal This Way Comes on Artbeat. I'm at Something Tribal This Way Comes, which is the second annual workshop weekend of its kind, and I'm with its founder, Tasha Rose. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah. First, let's start off from the beginning. Why dance?
It's all I want to do. I grew up in ballet and eventually quit it because it was rigorous, grueling type ballet. It wasn't, you know, kiddie dance studio ballet. It was pretty brutal. And I didn't want to do it anymore because it was ruining how I felt about myself and my body. And I had an eating disorder and it was just really rough. I quit dance entirely when I was 18 years old, went to college and did my college thing. And then as soon as I was done with grad school, I started belly dancing and I wanted to be moving my body. So I found belly dance classes here in the Twin Cities at the Cassandra School, and it just kind of all snowballed from there.
You danced American Tribal style, mm-hmm. ATS. Why did you gravitate towards that certain genre?
While I appreciate the Oriental styles and the cabaret styles, it didn't really resonate with me and my feminism. It didn't catch hold of my brain very well. And then I learned about tribal fusion first, which is actually a dance form that sprang out of American tribal style. I learned about tribal fusion first watching Rachel Bryce on YouTube, and she's amazing. And I read her bio and I saw a Fat Chance belly dance in her bio. And so I Googled them and I was blown away. My mind was just forever changed. So I did everything I could to learn about American Tribal Style. And at that point in time, there was no teacher of American Tribal Style in Minnesota. So I had no person to turn to. So I called up the Fat Chance Belly Dance Studio in California and I asked, how do I get to learn this, you know? And I didn't even know that I was talking to Carolina Noricchio, who is the curator of this art. And I had no clue. And then later on in my dancing, and I realized that it was Carolina, I was in fangirl mode. And I was like, oh my God, I this is who I talked to when I first got into this. So when I did talk to her first, I ordered every single DVD that she had to learn from. And then she put me in touch with Jen Nolan, who lives in Milwaukee. And I did some distance. And this is before like Skype and Google Plus and all that. Right. So there was no like instant video conferencing. It was, I would record myself and email the file to Jen Nolan and she would give me critique and feedback and go from there. And that's how I did my instruction because there was no one else. Then eventually I felt confident enough and wanted to dance with people because American Tribal Style is a group improvisational dance. So you need people, you know, you can't just do it by yourself. And so I started teaching. And in hindsight, I started teaching well before I ought to have and well before I condone even at this point being a teacher now and having been a belly dancer for 11 years now. But I needed people. And so it was born out of necessity. And so I grew a student base and we grew a small troupe. And my first troupe was the first ATS troupe in the state of Minnesota. And I'm really proud of that. really proud of that. For the most part, with the exception of two dancers that I can think of, the entire ATS lineage in Minnesota goes through me. You know, every student of mine has students, and it's all because of an interest that I had. And that might sound a little bit braggart, but I'm really, I'm like excited about being that person, you know? So yeah, I've been with ATS now for, oh my gosh, 9 years doing ATS exclusively. And it's all I do. That's all I do. I dance ATS. I teach ATS. I write about ATS on my blog. I produce an event that features the tribal family tree, and you know, it's all I do.
And so you have a studio.
I do.
Right. What is the name of it?
Kamalachan Dance Company is my studio. It's the same as my troupe name. And Kamalachan Dance Company is Minnesota's premier fat chance belly dance sister studio also, which means I've gone through the training involved with Carolina directly, hands-on, to become a teacher. And the sister studio part of it means that I am dedicated to presenting the format consistent with the way Carolina Noriccio presents it in her studio.
That's dedication.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really needs to be. And it's more than just knowing the format. It's knowing the history from which all of this came from, you know, before Carolina, before her teacher, Masha Archer, and before her teacher, Jamila Salampour, you know, all the way back to when, you know, the United States had belly dance for the first time in Little Egypt. And it's knowing all of that and then knowing the format so that you can teach people properly. Because if you don't know where you've been, you can't possibly know where you're going. And in knowing where you've been and knowing this format, that's how all of the different styles out of ATS have been born. The tribal fusion, and I mean, there's like gothic fusion, and there's all sorts of different fusion styles that have come out of this style.
So you decided last year to organize an event where people could get together and learn in a group setting over a weekend.
Yeah, well, actually, it was an idea that was born a number of years ago with the first incarnation of Kamalachand. And it was something that I really, really wanted to do because I wanted to put it in a theater, and I wanted to have it be something that was taken seriously by the public in terms of the spectacle of the art, and then also give dancers an opportunity to cross-train with teachers who, well, for instance, Cassandra Shore has studied with Jamila Salampour, who is the grandmother of belly dance in the entire United States, the modern belly dance as we know it. So we have her, who's kind of our historical crone of the belly dance world locally, and she's a world-renowned legend. And then our first year we had Wendy Allen, who is Fat Chance belly dance member. So we had her to cover ATS. And then we had a Romani folk fusion dancer from Milwaukee, Kelly Holder. So that's an improv style that came out of ATS. And then this year, we have the same concept. I want the whole entire, from root to fruit, encapsulated in the weekend so that there's better understanding across the styles of what this style does versus what this style does, and that none of it's wrong, but it's just different. And I think that if we learn more about what each other is doing, then there's going to be less infighting, and my way is better than your way, you know? And so that's what we do for the weekend. We have teachers that are amazing, and then we have a show that is off the wall. You know, it's just, it's amazing. The level of performance that we have in our show is brilliant. And that portion of it is what I want the wider public to know about so that they can start to appreciate it as art, as the art that it is.
Next year, you're going to be back. You've already announced some big things for 2015.
Yeah, we're going from a weekend format to a full week format. And we're bringing, for our first year, we're bringing Kajira Jumana and Black Sheep Belly Dance. And they are, Kajira studied with Carolina. And she has her own format of belly dance that now with some convenient language, it's considered ATS again, but for a while it wasn't considered ATS. It was considered just a group improv format or an improvisational group tribal style. There's been a billion different monikers that have been attached to the style that Kajira came up with based on what she learned from Carolina. But we have Kajira and Black Sheep coming for a full week, and she's going to be doing her teacher training workshops. And then we will open the weekend of something tribal. We're going to have two shows next year instead of just the one. And then hopefully even more workshops get submitted next year than we had this year. We had 63 workshops submitted for this weekend alone. And we ended up with timing and space and whatnot only being able to do six of them. So it was like, oh, what do I choose from? You know, and then coupled with the workshop selections we chose for our guests this year.
And you're at St. Catherine's University in St. Paul. Will the venue stay the same next year?
I'm hoping so. It just depends on the space accommodation. I know that St. Kate's has other event spaces available. I really want to stay here because the theater is beautiful and it's my alma mater. So I kind of want to just be home. And I live in St. Paul. I want to keep us grounded here where I live. And St. Kate's is big enough to accommodate, then by all means, we'll definitely be back here next year.
So you're a dancer, you're a dance instructor. Before that, what were you doing, and when was that moment to say, you know what, I'm going to quit this career path and switch to this one?
Sure. Well, I graduated St. Kate's with a bachelor's in English, and then I have a master's in education, and I don't use it at all. It's a rough economy, and I was doing just random things. I was working for a healthcare company and scheduling home health aides for a while. And then I was pregnant with my fourth baby and I got into a car accident. And my fella and I had been talking about for a while, okay, we'll work until this point in our future. And it was only months, you know, it was like when the baby's born. You'll work through when the baby is born. And then when you go back from maternity leave, that's when I'll quit and, you know, commit to dance full time. Well, it ended up happening sooner. I was in an accident in April of 2012. It was really scary because I'm a dancer. My body was hurting so badly. I didn't know how I was going to be able to keep dancing. And because of the pain that I was in, I ended up quitting my job earlier than anticipated. And then we just leapt into it. I got a studio and I was dancing full time. And I've been doing that ever since. So
it's hard to find studio space, though, I imagine, that's affordable when you're starting out and that there's challenges involved with that. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. So I was just renting out of dance studios, other established dance studios. It's great to have that studio space, but you also want your own home base, you know, especially when you have your own dance company. It's hard to operate out of somebody else's dance company. So eventually the opportunity came along for my studio, and it's dirt cheap and I'm so grateful for it. But it's in a great building in downtown St. Paul. It's the Jack's Art Building, and it's right on the light rail that's going to be opening up. So people who have access to the light rail can just hop on it to get right to my studio. The challenges that we have had really are parking. That's it. Parking. And when we got in the studio, we only had a carpet mat on the floor, so that can wreck your feet and shoes. And, you know, we wear dance shoes and go through dance shoes in a month because we're turning and spinning on carpet every day. But eventually we got some wood flooring in there, and free wood flooring even. And it's, you know, those were our major challenges, really.
A lot of times you hear you can either perform or you can teach, and they say it's a rare bird that can do both. Which one do you enjoy the most?
It's tough. I'm really an introvert, but both give me an outlet creatively. I like putting on all my costuming and becoming an altered version of myself when I'm on stage. So I really can't speak to which one I like better. I love teaching because I love watching people grow into this dance. And I love seeing those moments when people get it. They're like, oh, that muscle, I get it now. That muscle drives my hip to do this thing. Or, oh, I was going the wrong way with my chest circle. And, you know, those moments when people just get it are just brilliant to me. So I can't speak to which one I would like better that I do like better, because they're both so much of an outlet for me to be creative and to see people flourish.
So you feel like you can express yourself in ways that you don't in your everyday life, it sounds like, because you are putting on that other persona when you are on stage.
In a lot of ways, yeah, because like I said, I'm pretty much an introvert. I don't go out and be social with people. I'm just really, I like to be home and knit and be with my kids and dink around on Facebook. You know, I just want to be home and not dealing with the mess. And I think that a lot of creative people are that way because we have so much going on up here in our brain that it's just so much effort up here. You know, that we don't want to put the effort out there. You know what I mean? It's really, it can be really rough. And especially when you are a person who is a performer, you know, people are automatically expecting that you're going to be this brilliantly extroverted person and wonderful conversationalist. But I get on a stage, like when I, in the show, and it's my turn to talk, you know, when everybody is almost done performing and giving my thank yous and doing our auction, I feel like a total dope on stage because I choke over my words. I say, and like, and I use the word awesome too much. You know, it's just, it's crazy because I just don't have that ability. So, I mean, I guess I like performing because it gives me the opportunity to engage with people in a way that I don't normally.
If you wanted to encourage people that have a desire to pursue dance, I know that the first step is obviously to get into a studio, right? And see if you like it. But what are your words of wisdom?
Don't wait. I just posted something on our troupe Facebook page the other day that was, you know, don't wait for the money even. Don't wait for your body to lose 5 pounds. Don't wait for this event in your life to occur. Just do it. You know, if you want to do something, you do it. My studio and my dance company is unique in that I have catered to a lot of people's different needs in order to get them dancing because I want to see people dancing. My logos were created as a trade. You know, I want to see people dancing, especially when they have that fervor for it. So I do what I can to make it happen.
What have been some of the biggest learning moments or epiphanies you've had throughout this?
The biggest, I think, is the necessity to keep business and personal apart. I wasn't doing that at first, and feelings got really hurt by me and by others as a result of that. And now my troupe mates are some of my best friends, but when we're in a classroom or we're talking troupe or we're talking business, that's all it's about. And anything I have to say that's judgmental or critical of something they're doing or they're praising them even, has nothing to do with my relationship with them outside of the classroom. It has everything to do with the relationship we have on the studio floor or when we're on a stage performing, and has nothing to do with, oh, well, we just had tea, you know, we just had coffee at the Black Dog, you know, why aren't you being nice to me? You know, it's completely, feelings are uninvolved in business, and it has to be in order for troupe dynamics to really work well and for friendships to be maintained outside of the classroom.
If people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
Sure. For the dance company, they can find me at kamalachandanceco.com. It's kamalachandanceco.com. And then for the event, it's somethingtribal.com. Great. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and Reddit and social media and my blog. I blog at atsisreligion.blogspot.com. Oh, and I write for Fuse magazine. So yeah, they can find me everywhere. They can probably just Google Tasha Rose and find me.
I'm an extroverted introvert. Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again to Tasha Rose for visiting with us on Art Beat. More information on Tasha Rose can be found at the Kamala Chand Dance Company online, which can be found at www.kamalachandanceco.com. Tune in next week as we continue our coverage of Something Tribal This Way Comes with belly dance artist interviews that will give us insight into their style of dance, a little history, and more. I'm Terry Tenseth, and you've been listening to Art Beat.
Art Beat is written and produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. Visit us on the web at kqal.org.